walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas. The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
And welcome back to another edition of Subject to Discussion, live on LVRocks.com as well as on S2DRadio.com. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. You can call me anything you want. Just do not call me Dave Chappelle and do not call me late for dinner. And once again, if it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, it's time for Subject to Discussion time. Once again, live on LVRocks.com and S2Radio.com. That was the producer in charge of the program, Mr. Consoler, fresh back from his trip 2 weeks ago from Germany. Welcome back. And tonight, after the news segment called the News Headlines from Around the World, we'll take a little break. And then when we come back after the break, we'll do the news to you with the sound effects and all that stuff. And then the second hour, we'll have Dr. Koenig Rules, the crazy professor. He'll be on to talk about Who and Galactica. And then ending the program will be Dr. Net Ranger, the mad rocket scientist of the program, to talk pop culture, TV ratings, and more. We got some news about some renewals and some fate of some other series. And right now in the chat room is Chris 1019 40, Giorgio, Net Ranger, and myself. I'm very bleak in the chat room, but and before I delve into the rest of the headlines, everybody caught my remark about Dave Chappelle. He is supposed to perform this week, Thursday, I believe it is, at Caesars for the Comedy Festival. He abruptly canceled his performance, so they've had to rearrange the Comedy Festival with Bill Maher, and I'm moving up his show. But you know, a lot of people don't care about seeing Bill Maher. They want to see Dave Chappelle. So, you know, it's 4,000 seats, in that theater that Celine Dion has, and he was pretty much sold it out. So now they have to refund all those 4,000 seats tickets to the ticket holders. But anyway, and the website is s2dradio.com. Email is subject to discussion at lvrocks.com. And in the headlines, the USA Today today, there he goes. And they talk about public expert.
Might want to upgrade those typewriters to keep.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty old. I think that's from Lou Grant. It's a little sound effect for the news headline segment we're doing. It was suggested I try this out, so we'll see. The USA Today's headline on the right, the Gallup poll, a public expects the Democrats to deliver. Absolutely. If they don't deliver, throw their asses out with the Republicans from this year. Absolutely. And then, we need more choice. We need a third, fourth, fifth, and sixth party. So hopefully something will come together and we'll get it done one of these days. And they talk about should government take a yardstick to colleges, spellings, and institutions at odds over transparency. That's Education Secretary Margaret Spelling unveiled a plan 7 weeks ago to overhaul the nation's higher education system. And so now she's locking horns with some of these colleges. You know, because you run a college, you're holier than thou, and nobody can touch you. And at the bottom of the paper headline says, SUNY needs not met, a general says. Some police go unpaid. Shiites say efforts foiled. Of course, we had all that nonsense, that craziness today. About 150 people were snatched off the streets of Baghdad. And at the bottom, they talk about medical costs for infants. The average hospital stay for first-year medical costs for premature and full-term babies. Hospital stay for premature is 13 days. For a full-term pregnancy, a child is 1.5 days. Medical cost for a premature child is $32,325, and then full-term is $3,325. So I thought that was very interesting. And what else? And in the life section of USA Today, and they talk about the Love Redoed. It's about the Beatles' Love Show here in Las Vegas. They came out with the CD with the music that was George and Giles Martin. I have produced the CD for the from the show to go on sale, and let's see. They talk about Al Jazeera. They're finally going to have launch their English United States English speaking channel, and it's going to be Wednesday, and in about approximately 70 million households worldwide. And what else? Blah, blah, blah. I talk about some of the box office. Of course, tonight's the big Dancing with the Stars showdown between Emmett Smith and Mario Lopez. So that's everybody's, you know gripped on TV with that. So, and in the other headlines, we also had this from yesterday from the USA Today to talk about the hospitals too slow on heart attacks. Study finds only 35% react quickly enough. This is from Chicago. Only about one-third of hospitals provide emergency care to heart attack patients quickly enough to meet scientific guidelines for saving lives, researchers reported yesterday, Monday. Even among the better hospitals, only a few hospitals routinely meet the recommended guidelines, said a Yale cardiologist. About 200,000 people a year have heart attacks caused by blockages in crucial arteries supplying the heart with blood. About 10,000 patients die in of these heart attacks in hospitals each year. Studies show that reopening a clogged artery by inflating a tiny balloon at the site of the blockage is the best way to treat a severe heart attack. The procedure, known as angioplasty, can cut a patient's risk of dying by 40%. But only if it's done within 90 minutes of the patient's arrival at the hospital, the so-called door to balloon time. Interesting. And then at the bottom of the paper, talk about the Democrats. They want to identify pork sponsors. Nancy Pelosi is going to be Speaker of the House. She wants to get rid of anonymous earmarks. And people want earmarks for spending on pet projects. Their names will have to be attached to the earmark bills. And on the right, under snapshots, they talk about age of organ donors, number of living kidney donors in 2005 by age. 18 to 34 was 2,075. 35 to 49 was 3,099 people. And 59 to 64 is 1,332. And 65 older, only 58 years old organ donors. Interesting. Wonder why the senior citizens don't want to donate their organs, but oh well. And then Monday in the Review Journal, the Las Vegas Review Journal, it's about officials vow a fresh look. This is all about the Iraq study group run by Jim Baker. They're studying the Iraq situation and are going to come out with proposals, I believe, in a couple weeks, or ideas how to change course in Iraq, and how they're all kind of, the Democrats are waiting for that, and I guess Bush is going to look at it, and so he's holding on for that as well. So, and other than that, the Review Journal really doesn't have very much articles from Las Vegas. It's all from the wire service. They got one from, of course, the one from D.C. about the fresh look. They got one from Chicago about the heart attack story, enrollment period for Medicare B. So now this is from Las Vegas. So I don't know why I even caught the Las Vegas Review Journal. It's just called the Review Journal. And then in the from Monday from the Daily Herald in Illinois from the northwest suburbs, they talk about there's cash in that pile of junk. Refurbishing used cell phones and PCs, a quickly growing industry. It's pretty interesting. How many old cell phones do you have stashed in a desk drawer? When was the last time you upgraded your home computer? About 7 years for me. Experts say most Americans replace their electronics long before their useful lives are over. And more businesses are capitalizing, which means your unused gadgets could be worth some cold hard cash. Interesting. How often Americans switch cell phones in months? 18 times. It's unbelievable. How often the British switch cell phones in months? 15 times. How often the Japanese switch cell phones in months? 9. How many tons of electronic waste dumped in landfills every year? 50 million. Amazing. 18 cell phones. I don't even have one. But How the hell do you change your damn cell phone every 18 months? I mean, 18 times in months? I don't know. Crazy. And I talk about the work just starting for Blagojevich. He's the governor of Illinois. About a second term, including big challenges from Springfield. They talk about Rob Blagojevich, who we know, honeymoon. The Chicago Democrat will face his first second-term test before it even begins when the lawmakers return to Capitol in Springfield this week for a brief six-day fall session. He's got some scandals about his people in his administration on corruption and things like that. So he's got a little problems. The previous governor of Illinois, George Ryan, he also had problems with ethical problems, and I think he was tossing the clink for that. So, and then also from Monday, from the Times of India, they have a picture of getaway at Gateway. So Angelina Jolie, Hollywood actress Angelina Jolie with daughter Zahara and Brad Pitt with some medics at Gateway of India on Sunday. And they also talk about, on the right, about reckless driving, claim six pavement dwellers. I don't know if you could dwell on a pavement, but six youths held after car mows down sleeping laborers on Carter Road. It's from Mumbai. Late night partying ended in tragedy at Carter Road in Bandra in early hours of Sunday when a Toyota Corolla with six youths aged 18 to 21 ran over laborers who were sleeping at a work site outside a railway colony. Four laborers, including a pregnant woman and two children ages 5 and 7, were killed, and nine others were injured. Holy cow. The shocking case of rash driving stunned the city, and residents of the sea-facing road have called for tougher policing in the area. No kidding. All the youths were given blood and urine tests. The police said alcohol was detected in their blood, though the exact limits are not known, blah, blah, blah. An alcohol bottle was recovered from the car after the accident. Horrendous crash. Five views, and they have a little picture box on the right. And they talk about the car plows through 8 to 10 tin shacks, killing four laborers and two children sleeping on the pavement. One of the dead is a pregnant woman, and another nine laborers are injured. So, terrible. And then we move over to the Sunday Las Vegas Review-Journal, which is a $2.50 newspaper on Sundays. And all I have on there is pictures about the air show. This past weekend was the Aviation Nation at Nellis. And also they have, of course, leading news. The big news is charting UNLV's hoops descent. So that's big breaking news for the Review-Journal. You know, $2.50. What you get the front page talking about the basketball team at the college. You know, yeah. And then also Sunday in the Honolulu Advertiser, at the top, they talk about feds push death penalty even here in Honolulu, in Hawaii. Bush administration hopes to set precedent in child abuse trial. Justice Department officials have overruled federal prosecutors here and authorized seeking the death penalty for an Army soldier, and a move critics say is part of a nationwide attempt by the Bush administration to spread capital punishment to non-death penalty states. Naeem Williams, charged with murdering his 5-year-old daughter last year, is believed to be the first in the country to face the death penalty under a provision passed by the Congress 3 years ago for first-degree murder cases involving a pattern or practice of assault or torture against children, against a child or children. The Justice Department went along with the recommendation for the 21-year-old wife. But U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, who must approve federal death sentences, apparently overrode that. So now, although Hawaii doesn't have a death penalty, the Bush administration is overriding Hawaii and making this death penalty case. So, yeah. And also, they have one-third of shelter residents are kids. Nearly 1,800 homeless children stayed in emergency and transitional shelters throughout the islands for part of 2004 and 2005, according to a new report that gives the first detailed demographic look at Hawaii's homeless population served by state-funded services. The children 17 and younger represented one-third of the roughly 5,600 residents who lived in shelters between July 2004 and June 2005. Interesting. And then also have a Big Isle crash that kills five people. Survivor recalls blur of headlights, and she says, the survivor says, I thought that I was going to die. It's from Volcano, Hawaii. Five people were killed, and another was flown to an Oahu hospital in critical condition following a head-on collision less than a mile from the main entrance of Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. Three people in a sports utility vehicle and two in a sedan died at the crash at 10 p.m. Friday near the park's Hilo boundary, according to park authorities. Interesting. Honolulu Observer. How much is that one on Sunday? That one is $1.75. The Review Journal is $2.50 out here. Ridiculous ripoffs. Half of the 90% of the damn thing is real estate ads. You know? And also from Sunday here. Is it Sunday's paper? Yeah, I'm trying to read here. From the Boulder, Colorado Sunday Camera. CU could raise tuition 7%. It's the University of Colorado University System, apparently. Regents look at revamping the way credit hours are charged. Yeah, that means they'll charge you more per credit hour, probably. The University of Colorado and other state research schools could raise tuition by up to 7% next fall, according to a preliminary plan from the state's Higher Education Board. They would give state universities more flexibility with the way they charge students for classes, especially compared to last year, when officials set a 2.5% cap on tuition increases for the for in-state undergraduate students. So, yeah, Sunday Camera, that one is $1. So, amazing. And a lot of these papers are in trouble, not these, but I mean, you hear stories about the Tribune in the Los Angeles Times supposed to be up for grabs, and then the whole Tribune Corporation is supposed to be up for grabs, too. So I got about 50 cents making by the Cubs for that kind of money. And also Sunday from the Bluffton, South Carolina, the Island Packet, it's called, and this one is $1 as well. U.S. 278 gets good response. This is near Myrtle Beach. Additional lanes make drivers happy for now. When crews removed the final construction barrels from US 278 last week, drivers finally got to assess whether months of lane closures and delays were worth it. So far, some drivers say traffic is moving better, but many are reserving judgment until the spring when tourists begin flocking to the southern Beaufort County. It's off season, but it's flowing a lot smoother, said Earl Martin, a driver for Bluffton Taxi, who cruises along the highway dozens of times a day. So it's a 17-month project. And on the right, they talk about the, of course, it was Veterans Day on the 11th, day of the 11th month. Talk about the honor and sacrifice. They have a little chart about the World War One. There were U.S. casualties. More than 53,000 were killed on the battlefield. More than 200,000 were wounded. Living veterans, approximately 100 as of September 2004, according to the Department of Veterans Affairs. So all that's left in World War I is approximately 100. So that was from 2 years ago, so it should be a lot less than that. And then in World War II, U.S. casualties, the United States lost more than 290,000 troops in combat. More than 670,000 were wounded. Living veterans, about 4 million as of September 2004. And then from the Korean War, U.S. casualties, more than 33,000 U.S. military personnel died on the battlefield. More than 100,000 were wounded, and more than 8,000 are missing in action. Oh, that's, I didn't know about that. It's incredible. Living veterans, about 3.4 million as of September 2004. The Vietnam War, U.S. casualties, more than 47,000 troops were killed in action. More than 150,000 seriously wounded, and almost 2,000 are missing in action. Living veterans, about 8.1 million as of September 2004. How come they can't update these numbers a little more faster than 2 years ago? And then from the Persian Gulf War, U.S. casualties, the U.S. lost 147 troops on the battlefield, almost 500 were wounded. Living veterans, about 1.9 million as of September 2004. So it's a pretty good snapshot of the wars, all the wars we've had, the major wars recently, and the survivors and the deaths. So that kind of brings it home. And then also we have this from Calcutta, India, from the Telegraph, about American in a JNU first from New Delhi. Tyler Walker Williams is from America, which is waging a self-declared war for democracy in the world. But his ideology tilts to the left rather than the free market policies championed by the U.S. So what does he do to win an election? He comes to India, the world's largest democracy. So apparently he is, he says it's funny, given his political allegiances, he wouldn't have ever thought about an election in an American university, but he's won at the, was it, Jawaharlal Nehru University Central Panel today. So he's now going to be a president of a university system in India. So interesting there. And from the Calcutta, India, The Telegraph. And I also have one about a Kashmiri craft seller who became a top model in, Dhaka, has undergone a bigger changeover from an alleged Indian spy in a Bangladeshi prison last month to a suspected terrorist in a Tihar jail. The story of a 23-year-old Tariq Ahmed Dar, who is said to have won a Mr. Dhaka contest more than 3 years ago, has more twists than a spy thriller. So apparently this guy is either a double agent or something over there. So, yeah. How much is this paper? It doesn't say. $5. I mean, $5 over there. And then also we had this from Saturday from the Anchorage Daily News. To the highest bidders, artifacts of city's crimes. They leave with this. Dozens of firearms confiscated or by or turned over to the Anchorage police will be auctioned off to the public for the first time in several years today, along with other more colorful items from the department's evidence lockers. The items go up for bid: a Smith & Wesson pistol, four diamond rings, a trumpet, a Remington pump shotgun, for example, come from a variety of sources, according to some the Anchorage, Alaska Police Department. Police see some of the stuff from a crime scene, she said. Other items were turned in or found. Still others belong to people who went to jail and asked the police to hold their stuff because the jails won't, then never return to claim them. Maybe they're still in the jail. Hello. The jail won't ever hold a backpack, they said. And they get more safekeeping backpacks all the time, and it's their number one item. So, and also they have a story on the right about a beached tanker's crew is faulted. This is from Nikiski, Alaska. Ice flows snap dock lines. Engine didn't start in February. Grounding. Captain faces suspension. A runaway oil tanker that ran aground in Cook Inlet last winter wasn't tied safely to the dock. The bridge wasn't properly manned, and the engine wasn't ready for a quick start in case of trouble, a U.S. Coast Guard investigative report says. A surging tide and ice flow slammed into the bow of the tanker Sea Bulk Pride in the frosty pre-dawn of February 12th as it was tied to a Nikiski dock loading fuel oil and gasoline and other products from the Tesoro refinery, blah, blah, blah. One mooring line after another snapped until the ship finally broke free and drifted onto a beach about a half a mile north of the dock. So I know there was beaches in Alaska. The ship had about 32 people aboard and nearly 5 million gallons of petroleum. And with the aid of rescue tugs and a high tide, the crew refloated the beach to behemoth the next day, averting injuries or a disastrous spill. The double-hulled ship sustained relatively minor damage and is back working properly. So Alaska, Anchorage Daily News. So, and then also from Saturday from the Kane County Chronicle, which is north of Chicago in Kane County, Illinois, school referendum sought. Group C's ballot question is a boundary change alternative. From St. Charles, Illinois, a citizens group is calling for a building referendum to prevent looming school boundary changes, even though voters have rejected two similar ballot questions. The St. Charles School District is considering several models for changing school enrollment boundaries to find seats for all students in the crowded district. The group Citizens Against Reboundary Efforts plan to conduct a rally at 5 p.m. just before the school board meeting on the steps of the auditorium of North High School in St. Charles, Illinois, blah, blah, blah. Our hope is that they drop this reboundary effort. So it's always a story about the schools. And even here in Vegas, they're redrawing the school district lines once again because there's a shortage of schools here in Las Vegas. And Giorgio, thank you, dropped into the chat room that today's London Times. Giuliani stakes claim to White House. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani launches the first stage of a potential presidential bid by starting his fundraising. Yes, he's the second one. Tom Vilsack, the governor of Iowa, soon to be former, he also launched his, he actually announced he is running for president. So very interesting. I kind of checked out his stance and everything. He's very Very moderate, very down-to-earth. Maybe some Midwest values could be what's needed. So we'll see what happens with him. And all the last former presidents, with the minus exception of George Herbert Walker Bush, were governors. So, of course, there was Bush, governor of Texas, Clinton, governor of Arkansas, who am I skipping here, Reagan, governor of California, and Carter, governor of Georgia. So they've all, you know, the last handful batch have all been governors. So, and what else? To talk about disappearing into history, again, about the Veterans Day, about the veterans slowly but surely, you know, dying from the scene. They talk about when Nathan E. Cook, the last Spanish-American War veteran, died 14 years ago at age 106, he joined a long list. He joined Daniel F. Bakeman, the last Revolutionary War veteran who died in 1869. He also joined Albert Wilson and John Sailing, the last Union and Confederate soldiers, respectively. Wilson died in 1956 at 109. Sailing died 2 years later at 112. Wow, can you imagine living all that time and be able to, you know, think, you know, remember back until those days? The list also contains Hiram Cronk of the War of 1812, Owen Thomas Edgar of the Mexican War, and Frederick Frask, the last Indian Wars veteran. Someday that list will contain the name of the last World War II veteran. Fewer than 25 World War I veterans are alive today. Currently, over 3.2 million World War II veterans remain. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs estimates that's down nearly 400,000 from last year. And they say they're dwindling very quickly, however. They expect there are approximately 1,100 World War II deaths every day. So, wow, interesting. Yeah, they're slowly slipping from the scene. It's sad. And also from the Daily Telegraph, on Saturday from London, Blair pushes for more city academies to seal his legacy. He's another one. He's not running again. He's trying to shore up his legacy before he leaves office. Tony Blair wants to see a big increase in the number of city academies in an attempt to secure his legacy after he stands down as prime minister next year. Mr. Blair has told friends at number 10 that he will press ahead with an expansion in the number of academies despite the deep divisions they cause within his Labour Party. This shows he is keen to tie his successor, likely to be Gordon Brown, to a long-term commitment to academies. And also be seen as a defiant gesture against the way the academies have been attainted by the Cash for Honours affair. Which took a drastic turn yesterday with the resignation of Lord Sainsbury, the science minister. Oh, there must be some long going ongoing scandal over there. Mr. Blair's commitment to academies comes as he prepares to unveil a Queen's speech detailing fresh legislative action on issues such as nuclear power, health care, pensions, climate change, crime, and terrorism. So interesting. And then at the bottom, they had the story I found was pretty interesting. Thug who murdered train traveler for a look gets life. A crazed thug who stabbed a university student to death on a train just because he had looked at him as they stood at a rail station and was jailed for life yesterday, so make it Friday in London. Thomas Lee Wood, 22 years old, launched his unprovoked attack on Tom Grant, 19 years old, without warning, suddenly lunging at him as he sat in his seat on a crowded express train. Tom, in his first year at St. Andrews University in Scotland and hoping to become a Sandhurst cadet, had no chance to defend himself. One blow from Wood's stolen 11-inch kitchen knife pierced his heart and aorta, killing him with callous efficiency. Covered in his own blood, the teenager had time to only cry out, "I've been stabbed." His killer, of course, then tried to break down an interior door, train door, and reach other passengers and staff who had fled in terror. Wow. Let's see. He managed to, made escape by smashing window with a fire extinguisher. He was later held at a police roadblock, so they managed to catch him at the end anyway. So, yeah, that's a terrible, just in a bad place at the wrong time, bad luck for that poor guy, that poor student over there. And in Germany, from Stars and Stripes of Germany, they talk about actions in Iraq earn the Marine a Medal of Honor. It's from Corporal Jason Dunham, risked life to save comrades from grenade, Bush. gave him a posthumous medal of honor. And I guess the story is that he's fighting with somebody over there, an insurgent, and they dropped a grenade. And he took his helmet, put the helmet over it, and has put his body over the helmet to shield his comrades from the explosion. So, and then also then from Friday from the USA Today, they talk about how the U.S. will train Latin American militaries. There's a ban that has been in effect for years. They had a ban lifted to offset a trend toward the left. So a lot of these countries in Latin America are electing leftist leaders. So the Bush administration is going to lift this ban to train Latin American countries to in their military. Concern about leftist victories in Latin America has prompted President Bush to quietly grant a waiver that allows the United States to resume training militaries from 11 Latin American and Caribbean countries. The administration hopes the training will forge links with countries in the region and blunt a leftward trend. Daniel Ortega, an adversary of the United States in the region during the 1980s, was elected president in Nicaragua this week. Bolivians chose another leftist, Evo Morales, last year. A military training ban was originally designed to pressure countries into exempting U.S. soldiers from war crimes trials. The 2002 law bars countries from receiving military aid and training if they refuse to promise immunity from prosecution to U.S. service members who might get hauled before the International Crime Court. Wow. And how come this didn't come out before? You know what I mean? The White House lifted the ban on 20 to 21 countries, about half in Latin America or the Caribbean, through a presidential memorandum on October 2nd to the Secretary of State Rice. And the training, of course, is conducted in the United States. And on the left, they have serving their country. There are nearly 25 million military veterans living in the USA. Periods in which they served, 8.1 million served in Vietnam, 6.2 served in peacetime activities, military activities. Gulf War, 4.1 million. I guess they're counting the current one as well, apparently. World War II, 3.9. And then Korea, it was 3.4 million. So pretty interesting there, I thought. And then we have from Sin City, from Friday's Las Vegas Review-Journal, Sin City Lap Dances loses some sin. They had this question, or the Supreme Court decision about lap dances for the dancers. Carson City, at the very least, you'll have to get your Las Vegas lap dances without any fondling or caressing. That's a result of a Nevada Supreme Court decision handed down Thursday that imposes conditions on that staple of strip club activities. A lawyer for Exotic Dancers and a civil libertarian said the ruling essentially makes lap dances illegal in Las Vegas. Not so, though, the state of Las Vegas officials said as they gave the green light for grinding inside city limits. In a 5-2 decision, the Supreme Court of Nevada upheld the Las Vegas ordinance that prohibits Exotic Dancers from fondling or caressing patrons with the intent to sexually arouse. It prevents customers from doing the same to the dancers. That's nice. In the decision, Justice Nancy Becker said the city ordinance was intended to prohibit lap dancing. The 14 dancers had given misdemeanor citations by the Las Vegas police for violating the ordinance. The acts included rubbing breasts against patrons' faces and grinding buttocks into patrons' groins, according to the ruling. So they're all up in arms with that. And at the bottom, they're talking about raising the minimum wage here. The voters in Nevada passed question 6, which got 69% of voters approved. Tuesday will amend the Nevada Constitution to raise minimum wage by $1 to $6.50. Now they're all worried about what's that going to cause the economy. So actually, we're at our half-hour break, so we'll take a commercial interlude, and then we'll come back with the news to you in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Captain's log. According to reports from the Minnesota DNR, we are waist deep in a lake infested with...
Captain, the ship is surrounded by exotic species known as Eurasian water milfoil, zebra mussels, and spiny water flea.
Doctor, what's affecting our Vulcan friend?
Jim, it appears the Vulcan's vocal cords are clogged with zebra mussels.
Engineering, beam them up.
Oh, sir, I got no power. The milfoil's infested today. Lithium crystals. The spiny water flea are doing chorus line with the photon torpedoes. and the zebra mussels help block out the warp drive.
Bones, is there anything that can be done about these exotic species before they spread to other lakes?
Jim, it's as plain as the nose on your face. Just clean or dry out your boat and drain your bait bucket before sinking into another lake. If you see things hanging from your boat or motor, pull them off. If you don't, it's a hefty fine from the DNR. Remember, clean boats mean clean waters.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Back on Subject to Discussion, once again live at LVRocks.com and S2DRadio.com. Thank you to Eric Estrada for appearing on the program and his PSA. And so we just went through the headlines, and I just had a couple more I want to get to before I go into the news to you. Let me see here. Here we go. From Thursday's Las Vegas Review-Journal, they talk about, of course, Bush replaced Rumsfeld, and the business owners ponder a ban on smoking. There's an ordinance that was passed here in Vegas, question five. It's going to be a really strict cut down on smoking in bars and restaurants. Apparently, if they serve food, they're going to have to choose whether they're going to you can either serve food or smoking. They apparently won't be able to have both. So, and of course, our governor's race is over with. Jim Gibbons beat Deanna Titus, but it says Nevada hasn't seen the last of Gibbons versus Titus because she's still sticking on, staying on as the state Senate minority leader. So she's sticking around. And what else? And also we had this from the Thursday's the Des Moines, Iowa Register. They talk about Governor Vilsack going to make a run for the White House. He's the one that lost all that weight over the last few years, so he's got a story to tell. He talks about being an orphan and being adopted out of the orphan, so he's had apparently a rough go of it when he was younger, and it's going to be a story. He's going to apparently trumpet throughout the election season. So with that, move on to the news to you. And we had this from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They talk about Andy Griffith sues Andy Griffith. Forget the small-town belief in letting bygones be bygones. Andy Griffith, the actor who portrayed the sheriff of the fictional town of Mayberry, has sued a Wisconsin resident who unsuccessfully bid for the Grant County post after legally changes his name to Andrew Jackson Griffith in May. The lawsuit filed November 3rd in U.S. District Court in Madison, Wisconsin, alleges that William Harold Fenrick, 42, violated trademark and copyright laws as well as the privacy of actor Andy Samuel Griffith when he used his new name, Andy Griffith, to promote his candidacy for sheriff in southwestern Wisconsin. The lawsuit says the former Fenrick, changed his name for the sole purpose of taking advantage of Griffith's notoriety in an attempt to gain votes. So it goes on and on and on, blah, blah, blah. But apparently the guy lost his campaign. The Platteville music store co-owner said he spent $5,000 on his failed campaign and changed his name to garner publicity for the race. So, yeah. And maybe he should change his name to Barney Fife now. I don't know. And also from California, a pair accused of overt plane activity. From Los Angeles, a California couple are facing federal charges after they refused to stop overtly sexual activity during a flight to Raleigh. Authorities said Carl Warren Pershing of Lakewood, California, and Dawn Elizabeth Sewell of Huntington Beach, California, are accused of interfering with flight crew members during a September 5th Southwest Airlines flight from Los Angeles with a stop in Phoenix. According to court documents, flight attendants saw Pershing and Sewell kissing, embracing, and acting in a manner that made other passengers uncomfortable. And while the plane was stopped in Phoenix, Pershing was observed kissing Sewell near her breast, and was also observed with his face pressed against Sewell's lower body. Uh-oh. And they said last week, Southwest, they consider it the greyhound of the air. You know, pretty much you'd be able to bring live animals on there, like that Borat, bring a chicken. You know? where else? The flight attendant. Flight attendant asked them to stop. They obeyed initially, but resumed the behavior during the flight from Phoenix to Raleigh. When the flight attendant. When the flight attendant again requested them to stop, Pershing allegedly told the flight attendant, "I'm going to give you one warning to get out of my face." Pershing and Sewell continued the verbal harassment after a flight attendant refused to serve Pershing alcohol, according to court documents. Law enforcement officials apparently were waiting for the couple when the plane arrived in Raleigh-Durham International Airport. That's why I'm saying they should ban alcohol from these jets. I mean, you hear stories about this all the time. They go crazy. You know, and maybe you should take a step of banning liquor from being served in these airports. You get liquored up at the airport, and you get liquored up in the plane, and all hell breaks loose up in the jet. And also from Wisconsin, from Waukesha, Wisconsin, man uses bug story to make women disrobe. An unknown man has been bugging women and police, by using an insect story to try to persuade women to disrobe. Police said the man, who remains at large, has told female workers in at least seven businesses that they have a tick on their clothes and should remove clothing to find it, said Waukesha Police Sergeant. We don't know what his potential gain is. Well, obviously, to get the women to take off their clothes. If it's sexual gratification, if he's trying to be funny, but it's a serious crime, they said. Haley Frankowski, who was working recently at Sunset Tan in Waukesha, when the man came in and asked her to show him the tanning beds. At one point, the man, he's got a bed to show her, I bet. At one point, the man told her that she had a tick on her shirt. And he was like, "It's right there." That's when he took my pants and pulled them over.
Laughable, man.
And that's when I jumped and started walking toward the bathroom, she said. Wow. These people, are these women stupid? The man left, leaving her stunned. The police said the man has tried the trick in the Milwaukee area cities of Waukesha, Muskego, and Franklin. They said
you are not going stupid.
They said he seems to target younger women working alone in stores. In every case, the man was wearing a green jacket with a tree service logo. Yeah, I guess he's got some lumber, you know. Anyway, and what else is going on? From Worcester, Massachusetts, is a burrito a sandwich? A judge says no. Is a burrito a sandwich? The Panera Bread Company bakery and cafe chain says yes. But a judge says no, ruling against Panera and its bid to prevent a Mexican restaurant from moving into the same shopping mall.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Yeah, Panera has a clause in its lease that prevents the Windy City Shopping Center, White City Shopping Center in Shrewsbury from renting to another sandwich shop. Panera tried to invoke that clause to stop the opening of a Qdoba Mexican Grill, but Superior Court judge cited Webster's Dictionary as well as testimony from a chef and a former high-ranking federal agriculture official in ruling that burritos and other offerings are not sandwiches. The difference, the judge ruled, comes down to two slices of bread versus a tortilla. I can't believe they're battling this out over a damn tortilla and a sandwich. Of course, Panera is a St. Louis chain of more than 900 cafes. They would argue for a broad definition of a sandwich, saying that a flour tortilla is bread, and then a food product with bread and a filling is a sandwich. I don't know. Crazy. And a ceramic deer is from Holland, Wisconsin.
Spare me your sixth-grade Michael Moore logic.
John heard about the John and Chairman. He also heard about that story as well. Ceramic deer, no match, but a real thing from Holland, Michigan. A ceramic deer came out the loser when attacked by the real thing. Ruth Heslink of the town of Holland reported that the deer replica in her yard was destroyed in the attack that happened Sunday at about 6:45, according to the police captain from Sheboygan County's Sheriff's Department. Heslink told authorities a buck took on its ceramic counterpart. A deputy who went to the scene found obvious track marks that supported Heslink's account. Among the damage was the head of the ceramic deer was knocked off. When deer are in their full rutting season, the desire to mate can make bucks more aggressive with other males and less cautious when pursuing does. Wisconsin's 9-day gun deer season opens on Saturday. So I guess that's a spur the deer hunting season. Got some horny deer out there, literally and figuratively. Horny, get it? With the horns, the antlers. But and then also from Bloomington, Indiana. There you go. Woman backs over her husband, killing him. Police say a Bloomington man died after his wife accidentally, of course, accidentally backed their car over him. A 79-year-old Antonanas, oh my God, I can't even pronounce his last name, was pronounced dead at a Methodist hospital in Indianapolis. The police say the gentleman and his wife went home after grocery shopping, and he got the car to guide her back into the driveway. That's when she apparently struck him. He was alert when emergency personnel arrived and was taken to Bloomington Hospital for treatment of a broken pelvis and internal injuries. He was flown to Indianapolis when his condition worsened. Oh, terrible.
Holy cow!
I'm a freak accident there. And from Indianapolis, Indiana, 10-year-old girl infected with rabies dies. A 10-year-old girl who was being treated for the first confirmed case of rabies in Indiana since 1959 has died. Hospital spokesman says that the girl of Bourbon, Indiana, died at Riley Hospital for Children in Indianapolis. The girl was hospitalized in early October after being bitten in June by a rabid bat. Oh, that's the follow-up for that bat, one of those bat stories. More than 30 relatives, friends, and classmates of the girl were offered injections to prevent the spread of the disease. Some parents whose children attended this girl's school in the town of Bourbon, about 25 miles south of South Bend, worried about the possible exposure since rabies can stay dormant for more than a year. Human-to-human transmission of rabies is only possible through direct contact with saliva. I hope those kids don't start deep-throating each other or French-kissing each other. Then they got to worry about it. But other than that, I don't know if they drool on each other, spit on each other. I don't know. And from Overland Park, Kansas, tech reports alleged child porn to police. Yeah, be careful. You call a computer tech to fix your computer. You never know what they're going to find. A computer technician called police after child pornography was found allegedly on a customer's laptop, authorities say. An employee at the Overland Park computer repair shop told police that he found dozens of pornographic images of children when the computer was taken to the store in September. We've already had this occur before, where a tech has seen something on a computer they thought was illegal and reported it to us. And that's certainly commendable because it could easily be for someone to overlook it. So the charges are pending. Yeah. And then from Johnson Creek, Wisconsin. What's all these Wisconsin, Indiana? Hotel in Johnson Creek evacuated due to chemicals in the pool. I thought the chemicals were supposed to make the pool safe. But in Johnson Creek, they say officials in Johnson Creek say 14 people were taken to area hospitals with breathing problems after a noxious chemical mixture was used at a hotel pool. The police department say it had to evacuate the comfort suites that night after police reported breathing problems. The department says authorities learned at the scene that the company contracted for pool maintenance had mixed some chemicals that were causing the problems. All occupants of the hotel were taken to the Johnson Creek Community Center and later taken to area hotels. And one person opted to return to the comfort suites. It did not say how many people were evacuated. A chemical company was expected to clean out the area. The police department says it's unknown when the hotel will reopen. Yeah. Yeah, you're not seeing any of these stories on CNN or Fox. You know what I mean? It's the same for these stories. You know what I mean? They say people have gotten sick of course, CNN and all of them are, going off the, America's Choice 2008 array. Hell, we just got done with the last election. Now we're already diving into the presidential. And from Beijing, China, Beijing issues one dog per family rule. First, it was one child. Now, authorities say Beijing families will be allowed only one dog. The restriction is part of efforts to stamp out rabies, state media said. It follows a campaign in August in which thousands of dogs were killed in order to fight the disease. China's capital will institute a one-dog policy for each household in 9 areas, the official news agency said. Only one pet dog is allowed per household in the zones, and dangerous and large dogs will be banned. Anyone keeping an unlicensed dog will face prosecution. I wonder what we're supposed to do to those. If they have a large dog, are they supposed to kill it or just set it loose? I don't know. It said rabies killed 318 people nationwide in China in September. Rabies are on the rise in China. And with 2,651 reported deaths from the disease in 2004, the last year for which data were available. Let's see here. Poor dogs, huh? Only 3%. Oh, those poor things are getting killed. Only 3% of China's dogs are vaccinated against rabies, which attacks the nervous system and can be fatal. China has limited most urban couples to one child and those in the countryside to two since the 1970s. In an effort to limit population growth and ease the strain on resources, the dog limit was announced by Beijing police and the city agencies for agriculture and commerce. So watch out for those dogs. And Giorgio has they're firing missiles at the dogs. EW Entertainment Weekly.com is saying a video of Britney Spears' soon-to-be ex-husband apparently getting a text message informing him that the pop princess had filed for divorce became the most viewed item on the YouTube internet on Thursday with 1 million hits. Wow. Also, I did happen to come across the alleged porn video, a snippet of it, but I don't know. It's hard to tell if it's really her or not. And this next one's from Ireland. Chris DeBerg buys a rare World War I letter, a rare letter home by an unnamed British soldier describing the Christmas Day truce with German forces in 1914, sold last week for around 40 times its estimate, and was bought by Irish singer Chris DeBerg. DeBerg contacted the press office at Bonhams Auctioneers after paying £14,400 for the manuscript against a pre-sale estimate of between £300 and £400. Well, he really overpaid for that thing, didn't he? Hope he doesn't stick his elbow through it like Wynn did to that painting here in Vegas. Explaining why he was so passionate about the subject, they say he found the content extremely moving as it documented a very personal account of World War I. And he believes it to be a great historic manuscript charting the surreal events of December 25th, 1914, Bonham said after the sale. So the Star also said his great-uncle, Thomas DeBerg, was an officer killed in the Great War, and his grandfather, General Sir Eric DeBerg, served in the trenches as well. So, yeah, interesting. And then from Bridgetown, Barbados. Barbados faces invasion by giant snails. It sounds good to eat, doesn't it? A breed of giant ravenous snails that first appeared in Barbados 5 years ago has thrived on the tropical island, destroying crops and prompting calls for the government to eliminate the slimy pests. The nocturnal snail hunt last weekend reported finding hundreds of thousands of giant African snails swarming the central parish of St. George, the country's agricultural heartland, where farmers had complained of damage to crops, including sugarcane, bananas, and papayas. We saw snails riding on each other's backs and moving in clusters, said the chairman of the local emergency response office that organized 60 volunteers for the hunt. You're just crunching the shells as you're walking through. Huh. The volunteers sprayed government-supplied pesticides in gullies and other cool low-lying areas where the snails are believed to breed, venturing out after dark to catch the snails. There they are. Oh, that's a little... prop jet. And it's dark to catch the snails that emerged from spending the day underground. So, the snails, which are about the size of a human hand, are known to consume as many as 500 different plants and other mucus, and their mucus can transmit meningitis and other diseases. Yummy, huh? And we had this from Brewster, Ohio. Children removed from home filled with cat waste. It's amazing how these people treat their children. It's sickening. Six children are with Child Protective Services after being rescued from a home filled with cat waste, including dead cats. There you go. The children were left with two babysitters at a home in Brewster in Stark County, Ohio. The parents haven't been charged, but the father is due in court later this month. Police said the children appeared healthy, but some of them had bruises. Wonder from the cats or what? And then also from Berlin, Germany, suicide bid sparks punch-up among spectators. A young woman's rooftop suicide bid in Germany sparked a mass brawl between spectators, encouraging the 21-year-old to jump and a group of homeless people trying to protect her, the authorities said last week. The homeless people were angered when some teenagers in the crowd of hundreds started yelling to the woman that she should throw herself from the roof of the town hall of the southwestern town of Lorach in Germany. The homeless people started shouting at the kids not to say that, using some strong language. Apparently a big brawl between people wanting her to jump and the homeless people trying to save her. A punch-up involving around 40 people then ensued, during which time the police managed to coax the woman back indoors 3.5 hours after her ordeal began. Some 35 officers, six of whom were injured during the fight, were needed to break it up. 8 participants were arrested, most of them school children ages between 16 and 19. They said that the police authorities were doubtful that the brawl, which involved at least one girl, had stopped the woman from jumping. So, I don't know. They say she was about 70 meters up, 230 feet up, and probably wouldn't have seen much of what was going on. So, yeah, but it's a nice display of humanity, having the kids urging her to jump and the homeless people trying to save her. So, I don't know. And then from Fresno, California, brazen thieves steal nut-filled trucks. Larry Ladd just let go, but after the farmer caught 6 thieves plundering his walnut orchard in less than a day, he knew he had a problem. He's not the only one, as prices for almonds and walnuts rise with demand. A growing black market has emboldened nut nappers to cut holes in fences, sneak into distribution centers, and drive off a truckloads of nuts. I don't know. There's a joke in there somewhere. I don't know. I guess this guy's got some good nuts, I guess. I don't know. California farmers like Ladd have reason to be vigilant. Growers produce about 80% in that town, in Fresno. They produce about 80% of the world's almonds and 99% of the nation's walnuts. The state's walnuts earn nearly $4.4 million in 2004, according to latest figures. Savvy scoundrels target both walnuts and the more valuable almond. Last month, a Fresno County task force that tackles rural crimes recovered 44,000 pounds of processed almonds taken from a distribution center. Recovery was a rare break in a series of thefts that cost California farmers at least $1.5 million in stolen almonds this year, according to the California Agricultural Department. There are typically one or two almond thefts every fall, but in the last 18 months, there have been at least a dozen reports of larger looting. According to the Almond, Marsha Venable, spokeswoman for the Almond Board of California, a marketing group. Yeah, so that's, some guy that can't keep his nuts, I guess. And also from Ormond Beach, Florida, syndrome can keep people asleep for weeks. A rare syndrome that typically strikes during adolescence can keep sufferers asleep for days, sometimes as many as 14 days. A report featured Central Floridian Spencer Spearin, 20 years old, who was sometimes afraid to shut his eyes. The Ormond Beach man was diagnosed with Klein-Levin syndrome, a rare but debilitating disorder. Every 4 months or so, Spearin climbs in bed and sleeps for days or longer, the report said. Many times the disorder appears to be a flu-like illness. A doctor says patients suffer from periodic episodes of extreme sleepiness and abnormal childlike behavior. The kid's father said his son can tell when a spell is coming. He'll say his head feels fuzzy, like his head's getting tight, there's pressure, and it won't be long before that he'll be in his room sleeping. The report also featured a college student, Emily Dano, 18, who has had 30 episodes over the past 4 years. Her mother said the longest episode lasted longer than a month. And her mother says, I could see her life, just everything you know, everything you hope for your child just sort of washing away. It's amazing. There's no known cause and no cure for this. And apparently it's an area of the brain. Doctor said one of them in particular is the thalamus, which is an area deep in the brain that's very important for sleep regulation. So apparently that gets out of whack, and and CNN has a story. I think Anderson Cooper ran a story about that as well. These kids they go to bed and they sleep for days and weeks on end. They only get to go to the bathroom, and they go right back to bed and fall asleep. And then from War Acres, Oklahoma, War Acres woman shot in confrontation with robbers. A War Acres woman was shot in the chest early Monday after police said she refused to give in to a pair of armed robbers. According to police, the woman had just come home from grocery shopping and was getting out of her car when two black males, one with a pistol, demanded her purse. She refused to give it up, and the robbers shot her in the chest. There you go. The woman was taken to the University of Oklahoma Medical Center with what doctors called a life-threatening wound. No kidding. And then also next from Albuquerque, New Mexico, teen speaks about finding abandoned newborn. A teen made a grisly discovery the other day while he and his father cleaned out their newly purchased home. Discovery had some people asking, how could someone abandon his or her newborn baby? The remains of an infant were found in the home in Albuquerque's North Valley, and the find launched a murder investigation. Justin Summers, 17 years old, said he found the baby in an upstairs bedroom. He was cleaning in the room with a friend when they came across a backpack with baby toys in it. But along with those toys was something they'd never seen before. At first, we thought it was a dead cat that climbed in there to get warm. And his buddy said, dump it, but not in here. Let's take it outside and dump it out. And sure enough, it's a little baby. After they saw it was a baby, Justin called his father, who called the police. And the preliminary medical examiner's report revealed the infant was a baby girl, and that she went through a full 9-month pregnancy before birth. So, it makes you wonder what kind of people are out there. You know what I mean? That's what the kid said. So, yeah, no kidding. You know, stuff the newborn into the backpack and it dies. It's sickening. And from Cleveland. A man loses 340 pounds to save life and family. A father promised he would do anything to stay alive for his kids. He went to drastic steps to make the transformation. He weighed at, previously 607 pounds, and he's lost 340 pounds. He had that gastric bypass, and it's getting more and more publicity now. He has shed, a year and a half later, he has shed more than 340 pounds because he had a little newborn, and he said he's not going to see this kid grow up. So he made a determination he was going to lose this weight. So good for him. And then we'll take our break. We're at the top of the hour. Let's take our break for the second hour. When we'll be back, we'll be joined by the crazy professor, Dr. Koenig Rules, with the Who and Galactica review. And then Dr. Net Ranger will be on for a pop culture discussion, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
And welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion. Once again, live on LVRocks.com and on S2DRadio.com. And I'm Sean O'Max, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want. Just do not call me late for dinner. And that was the producer, Mr. Consoler. Once again, thank you very much. And let's see here. Now we'll be joined by the crazy professor, Dr. Koenig Rules, with our Who and Galactica discussion in just a moment. Dr. Koenig Rules, are you there, sir?
Yes, I'm getting out of the TARDIS even with low ratings.
With the low ratings out of the TARDIS. Yeah, what's going on there? Who's dropping like a rock? And Galactica's dropping like a rock, too. What's going on here?
I don't know. I think Stargate has put a curse on every damn show, Damn Stargate, damn them all to hell.
An Idiot's Lantern was out. I thought it was, you and me, I like all of it. It's outstanding, I thought. I keep saying it. It was fantastic, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Wasn't Doctor Who great?
Yeah.
Except if you notice, there was a little bit of a scene where he takes the kid actually into the TARDIS before the ending, because he walks out of the TARDIS because he kind of wonders, how to get to that radio station fast. And he walks out of the TARDIS. So I think they did some fancy editing there.
I was wondering how they got there so fast. So the TARDIS took him to that.
Because they walk out of the TARDIS, him and the kid. So I guess this was a TARDIS-free episode, I guess, apart from when he gets the little motorbike at the beginning.
Yeah, we don't really see much of the TARDIS in this episode.
Well, sad to say.
But you saw him as Elvis.
Yeah, that was pretty good, too. Khan missed it.
Sad to say I've missed two out of the last 3 weeks because they keep...
What were you doing?
Now Vanished is on Friday. I have to tape Vanished 8 to 9.
I thought they canceled that show.
Well, they are canceling it, but they're still showing the last two or three weeks. I want to see an ending. I put all this effort into watching the show. I'm going to watch. I want some type of closure.
Yeah.
Wait for the DVD box set.
No.
I'm a cheap ass. What can I say?
Well, then I became waiting for the first season, Doctor Who, but it's like $98 for the first season. I'm not spending that kind of money.
Oh, from Amazon.com, it's $70.
Oh, well, only.
$70.
So I tape Vanish now at 8.
Yeah.
And then I tape Battlestar from 9 to 10, and then my TV guide says Doctor Who's on 10 to 11, which it wasn't.
But it wasn't. Stargate was on, and then Battlestar, so they keep then Doctor Who.
What is that? Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. We're going for Friday here. Well, no.
See, now the week before when I caught it, they showed Battlestar from 9 to 10, and they had Doctor Who 10 to 11.
Right. They didn't have Stargate. But they had Stargate this last week, right?
You can shuffle all you want that lineup. Until you move it to another night, your ratings are going to suck ass.
Yeah, they got major problems.
That's true.
I don't see the, where are we here, 10, 11, 12, who, they only get who once. right here.
Really? You only get good ones?
No, who? I mean, I'm trying to read the schedule here. I'm sci-fi.com. We want Sci-Fi East. We want Sci-Fi.
If you can't read their schedule, they don't know what the hell they're doing.
I don't know what they're doing.
I can't get the schedule to move to the Western Sci-Fi Pacific. It's just a Sci-Fi East. So, I don't know what the hell they don't know what the hell they're doing over there.
Right.
Obviously.
Is there a West?
What? I'm on their schedule. I can't get the damn thing to move over to the right time here. So it says Sci-Fi East. I keep clicking U.S. Pacific, and it's jumping me back to, oh, for crying, who cares? And anyway, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I like those, you know, with the Wired lady. The Wired lady, her voice sounded a little bit like, what's her name, Cassandra.
Oh, yeah, it was. I like those period pieces. Mm. They combine a little bit of horror with sci-fi. Every period piece does that. Mm. So it was cool with the TVs. You know, TV's bad for your eyes. It sure is, right?
Yeah. Oh, the ratings, yes. Doctor Who slipped to a 0.9 for the first part of Cybermen.
Oh, my God. But that was 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Or no, last week.
But back, the second part did a 1.0. Ooh. And Vinsor is also saying that they just released the first season of Who episodes as cheaper vanilla discs, $19.98 each, three or four episodes per disc. Blah blah blah.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't.
So
I can't,
it does come out still to about $70.
Yeah, but what they offer in the pack for like $40, I can get for Galactica. You know, I still haven't gotten the second season of Battlestar yet either, but. Yeah, I don't know.
Battlestar was good, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. I thought Galactica was very good. It was.
You know what? The season three of Battlestar is reminding me a lot of the original series of Galactica. It's got fast-paced action. It's got stories where we've got to defeat the Cylons before this virus. Blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got the same type of plot lines, but it's done a little bit more seriously. But going back, interestingly, to the old Galactica series for their formulas. I remember the finale to the New Caprica. That reminded me one of the old Galactica.
What do you mean? How?
Well, just in terms of the special effects.
Oh yeah,
the battles.
Yeah.
You know, and this one with the virus being downloaded from one of these Earth type of sites or whatever, it's had a feel, a 1970s feel to it almost, you know?
Well, they explained that the 13th Colony left that thing out there apparently intentionally for the Cylons to get
it. And you know what? That's the thing. That's in the old Galactica series, there was always signposts leading the way to Earth and clues leading to Earth, and they're going back to all of that, too. What was previously in the miniseries as a myth, a fable, now they've made Earth into such a reality, such a linchpin for the show, The Search for Earth, that it just reminds me of the old show. Not so much in terms of the cheesy effects and the bad acting, but just in terms of some of the plots. I mean, they want, I think, to bring new viewers into it that might be recalling the old show, but I just don't think they're bringing the viewers in.
But now they changed Sharon's name to Athena.
She's
got a new name. How come she's
got... and boy, were some of the old fans pissed at that.
Yeah, I was kind of, I wasn't pissed. I was pissed, but I was kind of like, come on, did you have the same actress playing two different roles?
Athena.
Right, and they had Matthias. Did you see that? The reference to, I think there was a Dr. Matthias maybe on the old show, and they had a reference to that, too. Or maybe Matthias was in reference to the Space 1999 doctor. Well, Ron Moore likes 1999.
Oh, maybe.
So they made reference to a Matthias. That's right. They were paying homage to Space 1999.
Well, I kind of like how they are incorporating, you know, some stuff that are going on in the real world into the show, which, you know, we could probably sit here an hour discussing, should you kill all the Cylons, genocide, or no?
Yeah, that was incredible.
Yeah, what was that with Adama? At one point, he's basically,
he was a hard ass.
Let's kill them all, and now this, we don't have the right to do that.
I think by the end of the season, he's going to have white hair and he'll be talking about Bonanza.
I know.
Now, Roslyn, the big question.
Roslyn wants to kill him off. Yeah, you go, girl. I mean, she's
oh, yeah. Really, I was, when, especially when, what's his face was saying, well, you know, when we were on the planet, they wanted to live with us. And she's like, excuse me, weren't on
Hilo.
The planet.
Yeah,
Hilo. She's like, that's as far
right.
as you weren't on the planet, you don't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah, I don't
know. Roslyn rocks this year. I mean, I hated what they made her into by the end of season two, where she wanted to win the election no matter what, even fixing sort of the votes with her Confederates. I mean, now she's back to the old Roslyn. I mean, she's kick-ass. Adama, I don't know what's going on with him. He makes Sharon, you know, one of the team. You know, I mean, I don't know what it is with Adama, you know?
I think he's just getting old, you know? I mean, I don't know. He's an old man.
He's getting old. And then did you see in the credits at the end, they indicated he almost as Hot Dog. I thought Hot Dog died.
No. He's been on there all the time.
I thought Hot Dog died.
No,
he didn't die.
Are you kidding me? With Everchange Almost, he's still on the show. His son's not going to get killed off. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Are you out of your mind?
All right.
No.
I'm waiting to see what they do with Voltar because he's not in favor with the Cylons anymore. He's basically, you know, lying like he always does to save his life.
He starts having a relationship with Lucy Lawless.
No, I know, but in the original, he ends up being the leader of the Cylons. So I'm waiting to see what kind of happens. Mm-hmm. Are they going to do something to where he does something to save all the Cylons?
Yeah.
That's how he becomes their leader?
Well, I think
or their god?
One of Sean's favorite sex scenes with Bautar and Lucy Lawless.
No, they do it tasteful. I said I hated that opening scene in the third
I'm
season
for
with
the,
Cavill and
I'm waiting for the
Ellen.
The new
oh,
model.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for the new Cylon lesbians to come out.
The new Cylon lesbian.
I think they're hinting a three-way might be coming between Baltar, Six, and Deanna.
Right.
I think that they're hinting at that. And then
Sean,
what?
Did you like that interrogation with Baltar?
That was pretty intense.
That was
the Six in his head was using this. I'll get you through it. I thought it was pretty cool.
Are they ever going to?
Didn't you like that?
Yeah. Are they going to ever explain that? Because she's still in his head. So is he?
She shows up once in a while. Gets the parents in his head. He shows up once in a while.
Have they implanted something in his neck?
They haven't explained that.
They still.
I don't know if it was in his head, but they planted something somewhere.
Well, he's planted someone one of those heads.
But I remember whatever season it was. She turned his head. She goes, "Hold on, be careful." And it's something snapped in his neck. I don't know if that turned something on or remember that one. I forget what episode that was. She goes, "Hold on," when he was down on the planet and Cobalt, and she turned his head. Something I don't know what that was all about. I don't know if that activated. You know, maybe I don't know. Who knows what's going on? And that's one of
them. Voltar's half nude or totally nude on that couch
On the base ship, and the Cylons are watching him.
Yes, they have couches on the base star.
And I thought the scene when they went on Apollo and all that went onto the ship, and they had Sharon,
cool,
Athena, whatever you're calling herself, put her hand on the device to read, and she got some kind of a shock because she read some of the files apparently.
And that was cool. The effects are really good this season. I mean, it reminds me of it's a space show now. You're not getting into those.
That's good. I said that they're going down to the planet. It slows the whole show down. Stay up in space.
Right.
If Moore's listening, I don't know if he's listening or not, but stay up in space.
Well, you're going to bring him on, right?
I thought you. I don't know about that. Good luck. I thought you were getting the interview with him. What happened?
Well, I've been having problems trying to get him, But maybe you can get his wife.
Maybe. I don't know. Invincor is saying he wants to know where those other five models are and why we haven't seen them yet.
They're waiting for season four.
Maybe that'll be the last scene. They open up the door, and guess what? It's the first five cast members on Galactica's theme. Adama, Starbuck, Rosalind.
They're all Cylons.
Oh,
my God.
Wouldn't that be some kind of reveal? They're all Cylons. After all
Cylons.
No, like I said, remember, at the end of season five, almost wakes up from a dream.
Oh, God, they do that. I don't know.
Or is it a shower?
He wakes up from a cold sweat.
Victoria Principal.
And he's got, that's basically his premonition, so he's the god.
And comes out of a shower, right?
All this has happened before, and all this will happen again.
See?
Yeah, it could be one big dream of Adama's.
What I want to know is, Roslin is always in his chambers, right? I mean, what do they do in his chambers except look at each other and look grim? You know, I mean,
I don't know. He was serving her drinks and stuff.
I know.
I guess it's water. But
he has the legs up on the couch, right?
I like seeing Cottle
well,
come
back.
This
past episode, we did not see the Starbucks face.
We didn't see Starbuck. Only
oh,
briefly.
Yeah, they're facing Starbuck
briefly.
Out.
The old guy.
Oh yeah, Ty. Yeah, well, we'll see him next week
is
though.
He drunk.
He comes back next week. Next week's supposed to be a good episode. There, some prisoner has been held on a silent base ship for years, apparently, or for a long time, and somehow
the guy from Alias, Carl Lumley.
Well, I know him from Mantis, though. I mean, he's
Where he died in the final episode by an invisible dinosaur.
Whatever.
No, this is true.
I wonder if that's on DVD yet or not. And that was a good show. That was a good show. That was as close to Batman as you can get without being Batman, because they did the whole thing with the cave and the underwater thing. I thought it was
played much more seriously.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I liked it. Yeah. I liked the show myself.
Yeah,
but he did die at the end. He did die from a dinosaur that was invisible.
Jesus. And how about that new series? Have you been keeping track of that new series with Michael Ironside? It's called Ice Planet. That's supposed to be outstanding.
No,
that's coming. It's loosely based on that movie that was TV movie or was years ago called Ice Planet. He's signed to do the series called Ice Planet. It's got what I've seen, the scenery looks like a little bit like Galactica. It's going to be a serious type of an epic type of a series.
When is this coming out?
Apparently, it's supposed to be it's supposed to be this year, but now I guess they just started production this week or next week, and then it won't be ready till 2007.
I saw on Showtime, because they have Masters of Horror on, like, midnight, my area, and I watched it, and Michael Ironside played a vampire in this episode. He looked terrible.
Yeah,
I remember him from V.
Oh really?
Boy, was he, as Ham Tyler, he was great.
Yeah, I remember him in Sequest.
I am Sequest.
That's right.
The commander.
Is he the guy that was in
the second one?
Sequest 2030 or some 2032 or, you know.
Yeah.
Was he
the
guy in
Starship
Troopers?
But he looks really bad now.
Sorry, what?
Was he in Starship Troopers? And,
he was in Starship Troopers too.
Yeah, one, wasn't he?
Yeah. Total Recall.
Oh, here we go. We found Doctor Who. Doctor Who, West Coast time, will be on at midnight this Friday as a repeat.
There you go.
The repeat. It's
Who. After the Stargate and after Battlestar.
Yeah, they're doing Who, Galactica, Stargate SG-1, Season 8, Galactica again, and then Doctor Who. So update
your... So what happened to... they were airing Threshold. They stopped showing
Who
that?
They ran out of episodes.
Let me tell you, Who, this is a two-parter. It reminds me of Event Horizon, if you or your Confederates saw. It's great. Who meets up with Satan.
Yeah. It's supposed to be.
It's really good.
He also gets a glimpse of Rose's fate as well, huh?
Rose's fate?
That's what they say. They said on Gallifrey 1 that supposedly it gives him a glimpse of what's coming, what's going to happen to Rose.
Yeah, they make reference. Yes, they make reference to that. They definitely make reference to that. So it's a two parter.
Yeah. Now getting back to Galactica, the chat room is asking, what do you think of Adama not willing to go after Hilo for gassing those Cylons they had on the Galactica? He turned off the air ventilation system and ended up giving him asphyxiation.
Right.
Yeah.
It just confused the hell out of me, because at one point he's saying save the Cylons, and at another point he's saying go Hilo. You know what I mean?
Well, I think he realized what are you going to do? You're going to put him in jail for...
Right. It was sort of like what happened with Ty, remember, with the election?
Yeah,
he didn't do anything to Ty, so, you know.
Yeah,
I think Kane was right. The whole place has gone to hell on Galactica, remember? He said, it looks so sloppy here, you know. You make your son into this.
You know, some people are wishing that Adama would have wanted to get killed off and Kane would have stayed on the series.
Oh, wow. That would have been a dynamite show, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
She would never have had a stash. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. Given time, again, different kind of stash. but let me see here. They're in the chat room. They're talking about NetRanger thinks Adama is a Cylon. Giorgio's still waiting to see Hilo and Athena's reaction to Hera being still alive, the baby.
They've lost track of this baby now. What happened to the baby?
The baby's on the base ship with Deanna Troi, or Deanna, whatever.
So what's going to happen is
Deanna Troi. What's her name?
Deanna Troi. Well, Deanna Troi wants to get on the show. Marina Sirtis.
I'm sure she does. She's waiting tables at the Denny's up the street.
Okay. And Moore basically said next season she's guaranteed something.
Well,
so I think they're talking about a season 4 already.
Oh, yeah.
They need to give us a loop here, because it seems like every new person.
A loop?
Yeah, like a.
I've been looped.
A curveball. They need to give us a curveball. every new character they've been bringing since like after season 1.
Hmm.
That you see is a Cylon.
Yeah.
Well, they need to surprise us maybe and bring a new character on that's not a Cylon, or make us wonder, is this person a Cylon or not?
Well, maybe this guy from Adama's past, I think he's human. The one episode coming up.
But they brought, you know, Xena, she's...
I know.
He's a Cylon.
They're going to plan a spinoff, Galactica 2007 or something like
please.
That.
Please.
And what about they go to Earth and it's 2007.
Now, what about the spinoff? That's all of a sudden that's ground to a halt. What happened with the spinoff?
No, they're still talking about it. I mean, I have a feeling it's still on and that it will be on with Galactica season 4.
Hmm.
They're still talking about it though. You know,
It's
going to be a different show though. It sounds to me like it's going to be a totally different show than Galactica.
It should be. Oh,
it's going to be set on a planet, you know, and it's sort of like, okay.
I still think that they should, send Hilo and Athena back to the colonies or back to Caprica or some kind of resistance. They should have done that. You know, send them. You know,
right.
It'd be the same time frame, and they've proven that they can always jump back to the colonies if they want to. But I don't know if it's still possible. But
that's true.
And where has what's his name? Lander's been. He's been kind of invisible since.
Oh yeah. Or as some people say, Blanders.
Yeah. Because Starbuck's been back, and she basically told him to get out of her face, so she was going to claw his eyes out, and we haven't seen him since.
I know.
And he's been.
I don't know. I don't write this damn stuff.
I'm just asking. I thought maybe he had some scoops. You know, any spoilers? Hello.
Pay attention to episode 16.
Nope.
There will be a major spoiler revealed in episode 16.
Well, it won't be a spoiler because it'll be revealed on the series. Wait.
Well, I think we can sort of clue in the audience the week prior to the airing of that episode.
Well, episode
6. And then we can spoil them, okay? I don't want you to feel the wrath of more.
Oh, please. But episode 16 won't air until sometime in February, right?
Yeah. Huh. I think it's going to go on hiatus for probably about weeks, and I think Who is going to end in December.
So,
because the DVD comes out in the U.S.
Yeah,
right. That doesn't that come out in January or February?
December,
yeah.
Like
Amazon.com.
See, NetRanger is saying Hilo condemned Earth to die. So now apparently the humans and the Cylons are on a race to Earth. Who can get there first? I guess right. That's an air story.
I'm trying to figure out why the Cylons want to go to Earth.
What do you mean?
They want their own planet. They don't have a planet. They live on those ships.
Yeah, that's what
couldn't they live on New Caprica?
Well, I guess so. Right? Yeah, I don't know. What the hell are they going after Earth for?
Exactly. Why?
Because there's no humans there.
Caprica?
Look, they want to control humans.
Because the Galactica is going there.
All right.
Look, they all are acting like
humans.
Well, they're trying to act nice, but you know when it comes down to it, they want to wipe out when it comes down to it, they either want to wipe out humans or they want the humans to be the slave race.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people are speculating. What do you think that the cliffhanger? There we got an episode coming up called the Eye of Jupiter. So
I think the toasters are going to revolt against
the humanoid Cylons.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll see the original Cylons come back.
I think there's going to be two camps of Cylons by the end of this season. There's going to be just some that are totally going to be opposed and going to break away from the other Cylons.
Now, what about this episode later in the season called the Eye of Jupiter? So are they already getting into our solar system? They're going to use the Eye of Jupiter?
Or it could be I heard there's a sequel called the Ring of Uranus.
That's bad. No, no, no.
I'm sorry.
You go ahead.
I'm getting your ratings up on the show, you know?
Oh, well. If you go to TV.com, you got a rim shot there. But you go to TV.com and the Battlestar Galactica, they list the episodes that are coming. And then one of them is called The Eye of Jupiter. So that's interesting.
Yeah, you know? But it might be Jupiter, the god. Right?
Oh,
or the guy.
That's true. That's
true. Yeah. I don't think they're going to reach Earth yet.
Mm.
You know, I think they'll probably reach Earth in the final episode of the final season.
Yeah.
But I hope that they give more enough time, enough notification that, okay, this is the final season, mm-hmm. not like Farscape where it was canceled midstream, you know?
Yeah. What if they say, like Net Ranger saying, what if they get to Earth and the Borg assimilates them? I don't think that's going to happen.
I would love to see Battlestar on Doctor Who.
You never know. I think you're more likely to see a Stargate on Galactica than Doctor Who.
Or how about K-9?
K-9?
Instead of Muffet, they have K-9 on Galactica.
You never know. But I don't know. I said before, maybe they'll find Earth and they'll see President Bush and they'll turn around and go back. Oh, let's get out of here. I mean, no, who knows? You know, they'll find what kind of Earth. What Earth they're going to find? A kind of a current day Earth.
Could be a parallel Earth.
Could be a parallel Earth. Could be a futuristic Earth. Could be hell. Could be 1776 when I get there, and they'll bump into George Washington. You know?
Or maybe they'll never find Earth.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, they can't find Earth, and they'll just go off and lost in space or something like that.
I really think other Cylons are never revealed.
Yeah. Yeah, we could be left with these. Now, they'll save that hope we made for a movie or TV movies or something. So,
well, did you hear the latest? Babylon 5 is going direct to DVD with two made-for-DVD movies.
Wow. Who's going to be in that
cast? Bruce Boxhunter as John Sheridan, his wife or his former wife, and the one who played Galen Woodward or something in Crusade. They're all signed on for it. So
about Jerry Doyle? I wonder if he signed on for it, huh?
I would hope so. You had him on, didn't you?
No. He does a radio show out here in Vegas.
Okay.
He does a nationally syndicated program for the Jerry Doyle
it's
show.
It's going to be like better effects than the series or the TV movies, and that might be the route to that. Well, Stargate's doing that too. You heard that too, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're doing a couple movies that might be direct to DVD as well.
Well, good for you. It's a scoop there from Koenig Rules. We'll have to let you go. We have Net Ranger in the wings, so we'll talk to you next week.
Yes.
Okay.
I am on.
Okay. Thank you very much. There he goes. Off he goes in the TARDIS back to from whence he came. And in a moment, I didn't really talk too much about Who. I'm sorry about that. But Who was an outstanding episode. I liked the whole face thing and the kid. I like this ending scene. The kid went off to help be with his father when he's wandering away from the home and everything. And it was the coronation of Queen Elizabeth and everything. So the old footage. I like how they used some of the old footage into this show, too. Made it feel a little more realistic. So, and in a moment, we joined by Dr. Net Ranger with our pop culture discussion. And a nice little scoop there from Koenig Rules about the what's coming on DVD. It's Babylon 5 DVD. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And then also a Stargate. We knew about that. That's probably coming. I wish they'd take Stargate and create a spinoff using the that ship, using the ship, the Daedalus is a spin. Maybe Stargate Daedalus or something like that. Or I don't know. If they keep the both shows going, I mean, I have to do a spinoff. Because they already said Sci-Fi won't let them send Stargate SG-1 to another network. So if they're going to keep the cast around, they may have to do some kind of rejigger the show and maybe get rid of Bridges and whoever the hell else, and then maybe put them on a ship and off they go. I don't know. So, and in a moment, we'll be joined by the wonderful, crazy rocket scientist. And see the chat room. Moore wrote First Contact. Outstanding Star Trek movie. And what else? Oh, somebody asked me about that commercial they're running for DirecTV with Shatner in it. That's pretty good. And Shatner said that apparently he did the computer work to make him slimmer than he is on Boston Legal. So, but he's wearing that fake nose and all that stuff. And they agree. Can they just put the old model wig on him and have him go out there and do it? They had to put that big nose on him too and everything. But anyway, and I think now we're joined by Dr. Net Ranger. And Dr. Nate Ranger, are you there, sir?
Yes, Sean, how's it going?
Ah, wonderful. How are you?
Great.
Yes, we just got done with Koenig Rules. That was a pretty good scoop he had about the direct-to-DVD Babylon 5 movies that are apparently going to be made.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah, and then the Stargate SG-1 direct-to-DVD, so it's interesting.
Yeah, I haven't heard about either one of those things. Good breaking news there.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. And I wonder how they're going to do that, because it shows that Babylon 5 has been off the air for years. How are they going to, you know, go back and start the story? I don't know. Who knows what they're going to do, huh?
I don't know. I wonder if they'll do a spinoff and just have one or two characters or, you know, maybe a few years later or something. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what they do, though.
Yeah, and your first time you want to talk about is Borat, huh?
Yeah, in the news again. Biggest movie again of the weekend. Actually, it's opening overseas now, too, and so it's making just worldwide. It's been the biggest movie, I guess, the last couple of weeks. It's closing in on $150 million now.
That's amazing. How much did that movie cost to make, do you know?
$15 million, I think it was.
You're kidding me. $130
Lawsuits are starting to come. You know, the premise of the movie, for everybody that hasn't seen it, is kind of a candid camera. The Sacha Cohen, the main actor, pretends he's this Eastern European guy coming to basically do a documentary on the U.S., and he's in character the whole movie, I guess, and got a few people to, you know, basically told them that the thing was only going to air in Kazakhstan, and got a few people to say things and do things on the screen that they kind of were wishing they hadn't. Actually, I guess a news director from some station, I think it was in Ohio, he convinced her to bring him on the news and just kind of turned the live newscast to the mass chaos, and she lost her job over that. So
really? Interesting. I still think it was funny, that scene with him on the subway with the chicken, the supreme case, the chicken tickle. That was hilarious. And then also, what's the next one? Oh, Superman. Now, what's going on? Richard Donner, right?
Right. Richard Donner was the director of the first Superman, the first Christopher Reeve Superman movie. And they actually filmed probably about 70% of Superman 2 was filmed at the same time. And then when it was released, he had gotten into some kind of fight or dispute with the Salkinds, who were the producers, and they kicked him off, basically. So here, 20 years later, he's coming out with his take on the movie, and from what I hear, it's actually almost a completely new movie. Almost half of the movie is stuff that wasn't in the Superman 2.
Really?
The theaters.
Now, how they doing that with Christopher Reeve being dead and everything? How they, you know...
Well, they filmed, like I said, Donner had filmed quite a bit of footage. He filmed enough for about 70% of Superman 2, and then when they got the new people in, they basically rewrote it and refilmed it and released that. So he had a lot to work with.
Interesting, huh?
I guess a lot of Marlon Brando's scenes are going to be in it.
Whoa.
That's going to coincide with the release of the Superman Returns DVD this month.
No, that figures. Well, it'll sell good, especially there's, with Reeve being gone and everything, and of course Marlon Brando being dead for several years. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I'd like to see what his take on this Superman 2. Now, do you know it was the same premise with the villains from the Phantom Zone?
Yeah, it's the same premise, but it's kind of a different take, and the story goes in a little bit different direction. Actually, another thing that's kind of interesting, though, Richard Donner has actually joined DC Comics and has kind of taken over the helm with his former assistant on the movies, who is now kind of a bigwig at DC. And they're taking over Action Comics, which is one of the four Superman titles. Mm. And he's actually, I guess, going to have some of the ideas he had about where he would have taken a Superman 3 and 4.
Really?
They kind of map those out, and he's going to kind of make that the current Superman in the comics.
Wow.
Should be interesting to see.
Yeah, now Superman's got four titles, right? Now, how many titles does Batman have? He's got five, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, if you count all the spinoffs, like Batman's got, you know, the Robin and...
Doesn't he have, like, Gotham Knights and all that as well?
Yeah, I think there's six Batmans right now, but I'm not totally sure about that, and I don't know if that counts the... Kind of the sub-characters have their own.
Oh, yeah. But, does Catwoman still have her own comic book?
Yeah. Yeah, they keep rebooting that and changing the backstory, but it's still around.
Huh, interesting. And of course, you went the Lost season finale.
Right. They basically did a mini season this year on Lost, and it was kind of kind of strange the way they did it. They didn't really have the main characters. They have mostly the new characters and a few of the main ones that were kidnapped by the others at the end of last season.
Hmm.
And lost again in the ratings last week.
Oh, so really?
It's gonna be interesting. That was they're calling it the fall season finale.
Wow.
Now, it's going to be off until February.
Well, what you call it's beating them, right? Criminal Minds?
Yeah, just barely. Still beating them, so.
That's amazing because that show's been on for several seasons at Criminal Minds with that's who Mandy Patinkin, is that his show? No, that's not his show. It's
only second season.
Oh, second season? Oh my God! Seems like this show's been on a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
Just to watch it, it seems like it's been on longer.
This is Lost season three.
Season three, and this is the second season of Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
But
Lost is kind of getting a little bit strange. And they didn't really resolve anything. It kind of had another cliffhanger ending, and a lot of people were thinking they were going to kind of wrap things up in these six episodes, but kind of left you hanging again. So interesting to see how many people come back, after being gone for 3 months.
Yeah, I think all these shows are jumping on that. Jericho's doing the same thing. It's like, I don't know. Jericho's not, the big popular show like Lost is. Maybe after 3 months you'll forget about Jericho. You know what I mean?
I just heard about that today with Jericho, and I was actually really surprised to hear that. I don't know why they're doing that.
Look, you've got two different types of way of doing this. You can, three.
Mm-hmm.
One, you could do it like the conventional way they've been doing it for the past umpteen years. You start in September, you end it in May, but in between you're going to have to stick probably 8 weeks or 10 weeks of repeats.
Yeah.
Well, people are getting sick of watching repeat, or they just wait until it comes out on DVD. And, it's kind of like a back and forth thing. People start watching on DVD or with the DVRs. So now they're seeing their ratings drop, so they say, well, we're getting a lot of flack. The networks are saying we're getting a lot of flack for, especially last season Lost. We showed repeats, and people are really getting pissed off that we're showing repeat after repeat after repeat.
Yeah.
So let's change. We'll show 8 episodes, November, October, or October, November. We'll show 8 episodes. Then we'll go on break 2 months. This is going to happen. People, when they come back, are going to get pissed off. Well, I don't remember what happened. The third option, which I think is the best, they need to start either in September and go all the way through, or wait till January, Fox is doing with 24. They start in January, and they go all the way through May.
Same thing with the Galactica. Galactica should be coming out in January now. Get away from these
fall shows.
It's
hard if you take 2 weeks off and then you come back, but when you take 2 months off...
People lose interest.
Especially if it's a show like Criminal Minds, you have a beginning ending at each show. But Lost is kind of continuation. Yeah. You can't really take off 2 months.
Yeah, same thing with Jericho. Yeah. They got these storylines that are starting to get these storylines together. Last week's episode was outstanding with that, the Ravenwood group and all that stuff. Now this week they're coming to town.
Or you film it where you start in September, you could show 12 episodes, right?
Yeah.
And you have an ending at the 12 episodes, and then you restart, so it's kind of like a two-part season.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that would make it kind of more like the cable TV channels, like the 4400. We've talked about that before. You can kind of maintain that intensity by having the 15 episodes, and I think I'd rather see something like that.
Yeah. Well, then you got Grey's Anatomy has been picked up for syndication. These shows like that, Grey's Anatomy, they don't lend themselves too well to syndication because, it's a big, ER, you don't see that in syndication anywhere except for on TNT. And Grey's Anatomy is one of these hospital soap opera shows. It's like Dallas, and you don't see Melrose Park and all them around with syndication either. So I don't know.
You did see ER. I don't know if it's still on, but for years it was on every night. I think it was CBS. It was kind of the first show that was like one network, then syndicated it to another major network. And CBS was playing it for a while, but I think they dropped that. But yeah, you're right. It's Grey's Anatomy is another one. It does have, I guess each episode does have a beginning and an end, but it's a little more of a serial drama there as well. You have an overreaching plot and things that develop, and it's hard to watch out of sequence.
Yeah, they keep some storylines threading through the season, Galactica does. Some stories they wrap up, other ones they keep threading through the whole season.
Right.
And then they must have lost my invitation with Oprah's Tom Cruise and Holmes wedding this week in Italy, huh?
Yeah, you know, I think the same thing. We haven't gotten our invitation yet either, and I almost feel like I'm on a first name basis with their lawyers at least, but a lot of stuff on the message board. They like to complain about stuff.
Really?
And but I didn't send us an invitation, so.
Well, apparently they didn't invite Oprah either.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, Oprah wasn't invited, so that's a big mistake. She'll blast him on her show, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that kind of wants the whole thing, jumping on the couch.
Absolutely. As a winning guest, she should send him the damn couch, you know.
Yeah.
She kind of sparked the whole thing. Now, you have some article about cancels and pickups.
Yeah, two kind of surprises from NBC, Studio 60, and Friday Night Lights both got picked up.
Really?
And, again, we were talking... I guess 2 weeks ago, the rumor was that Studio 60 was going to get canceled. But what they did to save the show was they lowered the cost.
Hmm.
They lowered what they're charging NBC. So NBC is getting a cut rate now on the rest of the season.
Really?
Yeah.
And Studio 60 and Friday Night Lights, how'd they cut the cost?
On Studio 60, they did that. They had to pay, a pretty high licensing fee to the people who were producing Studio 60 for them. So it was the cost. I think it was something like $5 million per episode. Now it's down to like $3.5 million or something like that. So it was a pretty big savings.
Really?
And Friday Night Lights, to be honest, you know, I do like that show. It's one of my favorite shows, but I'm a little bit surprised it got picked up.
It's been doing better in the ratings since they put it with Heroes, hasn't it?
Well, on the one time they tried it with Heroes, it actually did... It was the best it had ever done. It had over 8 million viewers for that. But in its Tuesday time slot, it's down around 6.7 million, which is, you know, they cut Smith when it dropped to 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're talking about Vanished cutting it when it got down to about 7 million. So.
Mm.
But they're going to shuffle the entire schedule. I mean, pretty much every network, when shows come back, kind of mid-season, they're going to shuffle things around.
Well,
and they're talking about either... a pairing with Heroes on Monday night for Friday Night Lights, or they're actually talking about a Sunday night channel.
Really?
Sunday night showing.
I don't know. I think we're putting on Monday with Heroes. I mean, if Monday's working well with Heroes right now, why not? Why break that up? I mean,
yeah, and it did well there. I mean, it did better than Studio 60.
No, I just can't stand that damn show. And I tried to send it through it. Was it last night I was on? Where I was like, oh, the show is just nasty. I mean, it's cool. John Goodman's playing some kind of judge on there. And it's like, what is this? All of a sudden, it's like West Wing meets Saturday Night Live. I'm like, I can't sit through this. And then Justice was
about three episodes back. I think I haven't seen.
Justice has finally been canceled, huh?
Yeah, no, that was a surprise a little bit, the way it dropped. They moved it to Monday night, pairing it with Prison Break. And
What did I tell you? Did I not tell you that was going to happen?
Yep.
Yes, you did say that.
And they killed Vanished at the same time.
Yeah, that's Fox had that, right? That was Fox, yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean,
and I think Vanished was still, well, I don't know, because that actor went, but you know what? When they killed off the main actor on Vanished, that happened before they took that three-week hiatus.
Yeah,
and they were planning on moving it to Friday. I don't know. Now I don't know when they shot that show. I don't know if it was back in August.
Mm.
Might have been back in August that he left the show. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was actually mid-September that the fallout or the fight, whatever happened, and they decided to make that change in direction, but.
Mm.
Well, yeah, that's
there's too many of those shows on.
But I don't understand how he, who, I don't even know his name, but I've never seen
Gail
him on anything.
Harold.
How could, what was his name?
Gail
Howard.
Harold.
That guy has not been on anything, so how could he be just, how could they say that he's the only thing that's driving that show? I don't see it.
I was watching
it because of him, but not because only of him.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. He was actually the star of Queer as Folk on Showtime.
Well, that's all the reason to watch it then. I'll just watch it.
But what I'm saying is he wasn't the only character that they had. They had developed other characters, the senator, the daughter.
Yeah, but it was kind of the advertising for it. I mean, it was definitely promoted as
Herald. They promoted the hell out of that show, remember? I've seen ads for all over Fox.
But I thought it was doing... I mean, it was, what, half as many audiences as Prison Break, maybe? Mm.
No, it was actually better than that. It was dropping. It started out around 9.5 million, and kind of by the time they did a hiatus for baseball, it was down to about 7.3. But that's still pretty...
Yeah,
that's still decent.
That's pretty good. I may just switch over to cable. I may give it to USA or something like that, huh?
Well, I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I think they killed the show. I think, you know, we had this discussion before, but I just really wasn't happy with that major change.
Hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't...
I've seen one of the shows since after or mm-hmm. after that, and you got the Eddie Cibrian.
Forget him. I want to see him in another damn show. How many shows this guy can be on? Hell, he was on. What the hell was he on? He was on Invasion. And whatever the hell else she was on. He was on that damn.
If you're in Germany, you can catch Invasion.
Yeah.
What about that show that was on ESPN? Tilt. He was in Tilt too. I watched that. The gambling show they had on there.
Right. He was in. He was in the movie Alone in the Dark.
Oh.
The blockbuster.
Yeah, we had enough of him. Until if he shows up in Galactic, I'm turning the damn show off.
I want to ask your opinion. I don't know if I ever asked you this, but. Me and Sean, or at least I have said many times before, even on air, off air, if sci-fi wants to maximize their viewers, they mm-hmm. need to move their sci-fi lineup from Friday to mm-hmm. another night. Do you mm-hmm. agree or no?
I definitely agree. Sunday night would probably be the best for that.
Exactly.
Well, why are they so stubborn?
I don't know. We said last week after the show that at the program that they could re-air these damn miniseries on hour increments for years.
You know what they could do Friday night? They
movie
could re-air,
nights.
Well, you know.
Other old cheesy
whatever,
movies.
Whatever ratings they can get, they could put the miniseries.
The series, too.
Along with Battlestar Galactica.
The original.
And maybe an original and the old Doctor Who.
There you go.
Or something like that.
Did you notice this last week on Battlestar that they had the code that they were showing live on the show? You could actually go to the website.
Yeah, to try and get people to watch the show live, and then you get the code, and you go to the website, you can see some scenes. Yeah, they tried that last year, too, with all that live business. Yeah.
I guess I usually go watch it live. So I guess I fast-forwarded through that last year, but...
Well, I taped it. I mean, it was on there when I taped Galactica, and I was watching on tape.
All the more reason is move it to Sunday because more people watch it live, and you'll get a better read.
Exactly. Now, what about the contest? Were we reopening the contest again?
Yeah, I think we decided last week we were going to do that. And then, so what I was thinking is we'd open it for another week.
Okay.
Like next Wednesday, and then we'll have the long weekend to...
Yeah, and go to MediaBoulevard.com, and there's a message board for S2D Radio, and you can enter there. I think we should cut the amount of words down.
I think so, too.
I think 25 words or less.
Well, I had somebody asking if they could draw a picture
and
submit that, but this is actually, I'm not supposed to say who the entries are, I guess, if we do it this way, but somebody who... That would actually be very cool to see what they came up with for their entry.
Okay.
And actually, I've heard rumors that a cast member asked if they could enter. I don't know if that was a joke.
Are you kidding me? They won't enter the contest for. Can't they get DVDs on their own? Why do they want mine?
I'm sure they have the DVDs. I don't know. Maybe
the hell
they don't pay very much.
With
1.9 million viewers.
What? Galactica's only got 1.9 million viewers?
Well, whatever the numbers are.
Yeah. And so we reviewed Who and Galactica with Koenig, so we want to rehash that. Heroes is doing outstanding, I think, huh?
Yeah, it's definitely sweeps week, so we're getting to see a lot of things coming together. And I think I told you a couple weeks ago the rumors were that the Horned Rim guy, Clara's father, was going to turn out to be a good guy, and it's looking like maybe that is the case. He's just kind of the ends justify the means.
He's a good actor.
Chances,
he's
I didn't realize that was a guy from Dynasty.
I said that when we were first talking about it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He played the second Stephen Carrington on Dynasty.
Yeah, I think you said that on Halloween.
That's right.
I definitely see that now, but I didn't realize that at first. But, Heroes, I guess we get to see here for the sweeps week, we get to see the Siler trying to kill the cheerleader and what that's all about, I think, is in next week's episode.
Yeah. And then, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, then we get to see, this month we also get to see Nikki's powers explained, what exactly is, this mirror personality that she has.
It's a Jekyll and Hyde thing. It's like they did with the a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and they did the thing with the Hyde, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, he looked in the mirror and he saw his other side. He saw, you know, so I think they'll do the same thing. And that was cool, and they did that in that movie. And, of course, my favorite, Jericho, last week's episode was pretty damn good, I thought, with them, the two brothers getting a medicine for their father and then run into that military group, which is a really existing military group, huh?
Oh, is it?
Really? Oh, yeah. You go, Ravenwood. You go on that. It's a military a company or whatever it is that they have mercenaries for hire. And it's a real existing company. So
yeah, I know there are a lot of companies like that. I didn't realize Ravenwood was a real name.
So I don't know if CBS made some deal with them or what.
Probably.
But, yeah. So good for. I mean, it was like, wow, it really exists. And then I didn't get what the Morse code was this week. Last week it was Hawkins is not FBI because he's up. They found that badge, and he said, you know, but it turns out, he's not really FBI. They said in the Morse code he's not FBI. So that was pretty cool.
Huh? So you found some place that's translating the Morse code, or
I'm translating myself. No.
Yeah, I was a Boy Scout a long time ago. I got a book around somewhere.
Oh, please no! I can turn on this computer here. Are you kidding me? No, TV.com on the Jericho board. They have some areas. Some of the board members are deciphering the code. So yeah. I don't know what it was this week. I don't know. Maybe something about the medicine or something. I don't know. And
drink your Ovaltine.
Yeah.
Probably.
I think I put this in the notes for who. I just made some notes here because at one point I wasn't sure if Koenig was going to be around tonight. But anyway, Tommy, the kid in this last episode of Doctor Who, I was looking at the. At the online cast list for it, and I saw him listed as being in Jericho as a recurring character.
Really?
And I'm looking at that, but there's actually a show in the UK airing now also called Jericho.
Uh-oh.
It's spelled the same. It's about a detective in London set in the 1950s.
Well, whatever. Good luck on that one.
Yeah.
Good luck, yeah.
Pretty popular there.
So. Really? Man, I thought the episode was outstanding, and they brought that doctor with them from Rogue River, and now they have two doctors in town now because they explained. People screaming, "How come there's only one doctor in that in that town?" They explained it in the first episode or the second episode that the other two, they only had three apparently in town. They were on duty. The other one was away, and the other one went off to look for his family. So that's explained why April's the only doctor in town. Now there's another doctor.
Now, let me ask you a question, since you're the expert on the show. Did we have a jump ahead in time here? Because I thought earlier we were talking
about... Yes, it's 1 year later.
Well, you were talking, I think when they were looking at the FEMA markings on the door, I thought I caught him saying that it was like, that they'd come through like a month after the bomb had dropped.
Yeah, they've jumped it 2 weeks, a few weeks ago. And I think they jumped it like another week or so. I don't know. I think they've jumped it like... I think it's like a month and a half after since the blasts.
Yeah.
And apparently, on the TV.com board for Jericho, they've established that the series is actually set in 2009, not the current day. So whatever's going on, apparently, because they did some about the divorce records that they had with Eric and his wife, and then they explained the years, and well, it can't be 2006, then it's got to be 2009 that the show's based in. And something else with Jake's birthday on his... passport, the age doesn't add up. That makes it 2009. So, whatever. But still, it's very good. And then this next one's supposed to be outstanding. They have a showdown with that Ravenwood group. They come to Jericho because dumbass Eric dropped his wallet in the damn hospital. And they show Jake with a gun by the house.
They showed him blowing up a bridge, I guess.
Oh, yeah, the overpass. So that's
I guess also this week is Emily's wedding day.
That's so sweet. And then they explained the TVGuide.com. They interviewed Ashley Scott, and she explained it. And when they come back, they're going to do a flashback episode, but the day before the nuke happened. Apparently, I don't know if it's the day before how the town was before this happened. And then something about her and her fiance, they're going to do some, you know, fill in some of the holes from that. So that'd be nice. Yeah. So it's still doing outstanding. So I still, you know, like the ratings jumped back up a little bit too, huh?
Yeah, that was just a blip, you know, momentary blip there.
That's nice.
It jumped back right up to what it was before.
Now tomorrow are they up against? Oh, I'm running out of time. Now, now tomorrow are they up against Dancing with the Stars again?
Yeah, and actually, the finale is tomorrow.
Oh no, they're gonna get clobbered.